Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Holy moly, welcome back to another amazing episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, and I am so freaking glad that you're here. It is always my aim to provide you with evidence-based, no-nonsense nutrition so that how you approach food gives more to your life than it takes away. And I don't know if you know this, I just looked it up so I could give you an accurate statistic. There are over 3.2 million podcasts in existence since last month, February of 2024. So the fact that you are here with me means the world. And I get so incredibly giddy. I actually screenshotted this because it makes me so giddy when I receive amazing reviews from you. I know how busy you are, and I know that leaving a review, while it takes 30 seconds, is a huge investment of your time and energy. Can I read this review to you? Oh, it made me so, so happy. This is from Lizzie Vesh. And the title of her review is Recently Discovered Gem. Nicole was a guest on another podcast I listened to, and I immediately knew I needed more of her in my life. And her podcast did not disappoint. Nicole and her frequent contributor, Coach Lauren, are relatable, knowledgeable, and entertaining. They make complicated topics understandable and have become such an important part of my own health journey. I often think of things they say throughout my day as I'm making food choices. Keep up the awesome work, ladies. You are so appreciated. If I can just echo that back to you, you are so appreciated. And if I can just express a little bit of how much you mean to me, God, I hope I'm doing it. Today, I want to try something different. You know that the podcast is one of my favorite ways to communicate and to coach you and alongside of you. And I recently was sitting back, reflecting on my week last week, thinking of all the things that came up in coaching call conversations that surprised my one-on-one nutrition coaching clients. And I thought, some of these things feel like they should be common knowledge. And some of these things, I get why people don't fully understand. But I bet if my clients who have already committed an amazing amount of time, money, energy into their health, well-being, and body composition goals don't know these things, do you? And in most of these instances, learning this made food less stressful, made the journey to progress more fun. So I'm going to share with you four things that I found myself saying to my clients last week that shocked them. And maybe this will shock you too, or maybe it's things you already know. But I would love, love, love to hear from you if you enjoy this episode. I've never really done one like this before. I'm thinking about making it a series. So like if once a month I hop on the pod and say X things that I said this week that shocked my coaching clients, that maybe you can also benefit from. Like if you would like that because you learned something from this episode, please let me know. Without further ado, the first thing I said that really knocked the socks off one of my coaching clients is that sweet potatoes are not nutritionally superior to white potatoes. Does that surprise you? Sweet potatoes are often touted as being the healthier, more moral option when compared to white potatoes. And I think this is in large part due to the paleo diet or like Whole 30, because
If you follow that dietary framework, you're allowed, I'm using air quotes, to eat sweet potatoes, but you are not allowed to have white potatoes. When in reality, hear me, both types of potatoes, super rich in fiber. Yes, it's a carbohydrate, but it's a great fiber-containing complex carbohydrate and filled with vitamins B6 and C. Now, there are some differences. White potatoes are higher in potassium, and sweet potatoes contain more vitamin A. But if we look at 100 grams of each cooked, we're comparing cooked, and I just mean baked, so we're not adding oil here. It's just cooked in the oven. Baked sweet potatoes versus baked white potatoes. Again, same amount, 100 grams. There is a 3-calorie difference between sweet potatoes and white potatoes. That's nothing. There is less than a gram difference in carbohydrates. So 100 grams of sweet potatoes contains 20.7 grams of carbs. 100 grams of white potatoes contains 21.1 grams of carbs. Again, nothing. Sweet potatoes have slightly more fiber, slightly less protein, and the same amount of fat. So if you're freaking out over eating a white potato, I'm here to tell you that there's a 3-calorie difference when you compare 100 grams of both. So I will say it again. Sweet potatoes are not nutritionally superior when compared to white potatoes. They are both beautiful sources of complex carbohydrates, and they both contain fiber, especially if you're in the habit of eating the skin. And we know that fiber-containing carbs are the best kind of carbs to eat because, number one, they keep us more satiated and full, but they also do not increase our blood sugar as much as their non-fiber containing carbohydrate counterparts. So, in summary, both sweet potatoes and white potatoes can be beautifully nutritious options when included as part of a balanced diet. I would be mindful of how you're choosing to eat them. So if, for example, you are used to eating a baked sweet potato when you sit down to a beautiful, what you believe to be healthy meal, and when you eat a white potato, it's usually fried, you know, it's like a French fry at a drive-thru, or it's a hash brown at a restaurant when you're having brunch. Okay, right? But then don't demonize the potato. Recognize that how you're eating the white potato is not just carb, but now you're adding the fat from the oil and the butter and etc. So don't feel as though you're making a bad choice by eating a white freaking potato. Follow your taste bud preferences. Incorporate both of them into meals as you see fit and pair them with other delicious food groups. Maybe that one surprised you. It really, like I said, knocked the socks off one of my coaching clients. The second thing that I found myself saying last week that shocked a coaching client is that BMI, body mass index, is not an accurate health metric. I understand that the BMI is a quick, accessible, and low-cost metric, which is in large part why it's used by the medical system. But when it is used as a single focus to determine health status, there are several noteworthy flaws. The first that we cannot ignore is that the body mass index was developed based on the bodies of non-Hispanic white men. That's it. That's what the study included. And so it makes sense that BMI may not provide accurate results for different sexes, ethnicities, or races. Okay? So like that's just one teeny tiny point that like completely blows up the BMI as being a 100% accurate metric of health. Now, there are a few others. Let me share them with you. BMI limitations also include the fact that it does not differentiate between fat mass and muscle mass. So you could be an amazing athlete with muscle on your body frame. You could be a bodybuilder, and your BMI would be in the overweight or the obese category, despite the fact that you have a super low percentage of body fat and you are living in a very healthy body. I think I've shared this story with you before, but in a past life, I started as a personal trainer. And so when I received my personal training certification, this beast of a man helped me at an in-person training receive that personal training certification. And while he was teaching us, he shared a story that said he needed to have someone from his insurance company come out to his house to assess his body composition. He had to give them, you know, other data from his doctor because according to his BMI, he was obese. Now, if you looked at this man, you would have had a little chuckle because he was incredibly muscular, probably couldn't have even pinched an ounce of fat on his frame. But according to BMI, he was not healthy. Do you see the breakdown there? BMI also does not account for body composition differences. So two individuals can have the same BMI because BMI is just a calculation based on your height and your weight. That's it. But they can have vastly different body compositions. So for example, one person can have a high body fat percentage, which comes with risks, right? Associated things like heart disease, diabetes, etc. While someone else may have an incredibly low body fat percentage and more muscle mass, but their BMI is the same, right? But the health of those individuals, obviously not the same. There are some other limitations, like the fact that it doesn't account for the distribution of body fat. And we very clearly know that visceral fat, which is the fat that surrounds your organs, is more strongly associated with health risks than subcutaneous fat, which is just fat under the skin. So again, two people, same BMI, can have completely different distributions of fat, which affect their health differently. We can't tell the difference when we're simply using BMI. I already mentioned that gender, ethnicity, race, that's a biggie in my mind, right? Because I work primarily with women. So when women come to me freaking out about their BMI, I am oftentimes inclined to say, let's just completely forget about BMI because there are so many other metrics that we can utilize to measure health more accurately, more appropriately. And BMI, while I understand it is kind of like the gold standard in the medical world, it really, really, really falls short. Another limitation is that it doesn't account at all for lifestyle factors. So the BMI doesn't tell you what your diet looks like, your physical activity, your stress levels, your overall health behaviors. Obviously, these are crucial determinants of health. So the only thing the BMI gives us is a rough estimate of your weight status. But if we are looking to accurately measure health, we must consider other factors like your body composition, your fat distribution, and of course, your lifestyle habits. If your medical provider, if your coach, heck, if anyone is saying, hey, your BMI puts you in the overweight or obese category, you should really do something about that. But you feel as though you are otherwise pretty healthy, like your behaviors are where you want them to be, you're feeling great in your body, you're noticing that you are leaner than you once were, like throw it out. Throw out BMI. Do not let it steal any more time and attention. The third thing that I said last week that really threw one of my clients for a loop is that it is perfectly okay to eat an entire banana in one sitting. Yes, it is. It is perfectly okay to eat an entire banana. Now, this might not shock all of you, but bananas get a lot of hate. They have a super bad reputation because of their high starch content. But can I just tell you, one medium-sized banana contains approximately 105 calories, 27 grams of carbs, 14 grams of sugar, and is an excellent source of potassium. It has about 420 milligrams of potassium. So a banana is not a high calorie food. It doesn't even have an exorbitant amount of carbohydrates. Is it a carbohydrate? Yes, just like all fruit is carbohydrate. But one single serving of carbs is generally around 20 grams. So one banana contains 27 grams. That is not something that constitutes as a high carb food or a high carb snack. It is fiber containing, it's low calorie, and it's a great way to feel satisfied without overeating. So if at any point in your dieting history, you heard that bananas are evil, they're packed with sugar, which is primarily fructose, which yes, fruit contains sugar, but keep in mind, everything we eat gets broken down into sugar for our body to utilize. as energy. Okay. So like sugar's not the enemy here. Bananas are carby. All fruit is carbohydrate. Guess what? All vegetables are also carbohydrate, and vegetables are freaking amazing for you. Now, vegetables are lower in carbohydrates and sugar compared to fruit. I'm not saying the two are equal, but what I am saying is that fruit contains a shit ton of healthy vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, usually packed with fiber, and it can be a great voluminous, helping to keep you full, addition to any meal and snack. Now, what I will say, and if you are someone who has to monitor your blood sugar because perhaps you are diabetic, then for sure, we do want to be cognizant of our overall carbohydrate consumption. Now, I recently did an episode on how to manage your blood sugar in 5 simple steps. It's episode 260. So you just have to go back a couple of episodes. If that's you, go back and listen to that. I am still going to tell you that even as someone who has to watch your blood sugar, it is probably perfectly okay for you to eat an entire banana. The question I would have for you if I was your coach, and obviously I would need a lot more information, a lot more context about your specific health situation. But if I were your coach, I would encourage you to pair that banana with a source of protein or with a source of fat, potentially even both if we're looking for a well-balanced meal. Why? Because when I eat a carbohydrate by itself, blood sugar goes up, 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 and then it comes crashing back down shortly later because I only ate a carbohydrate, which isn't going to last me super long. And then I'm probably looking for something else. So in addition to the banana, I then might grab some crackers or some pretzels or something else that's carby that's just going to do the same thing. And so I have spike, drop, spike, drop. If I want to better manage my blood sugar, like I discussed in depth in episode 260, you want to pair your carbohydrate sources, preferably your fiber-containing carb sources like fruit, with a protein and or a fat that is going to mitigate some of that blood sugar spike. Now, here's the thing. Bottom line, you will always have a blood sugar spike. That's what the body does when we eat. That's not a bad thing. But if we can mitigate that spike a little bit so it doesn't spike as high and our energy is more long-lasting, that would be a huge benefit. Okay? I actually had this same client who was freaking out about eating the entire banana, write me and say that she listened to that episode. She also happens to be a diabetic, and it taught her more in the 30 minutes of the episode than she has ever been taught by her doctors over the last several years when it comes to diabetes. So that was a huge, huge compliment. It's okay to eat the banana. Okay. If you want the banana, eat the freaking banana. Fourth and last thing that I said to my clients last week that shocked the pants off of them. Are you ready for this? Exercise does not promote weight loss. Now, I don't want you to cancel your workout for tomorrow because you're disappointed by this. Hear me out. The truth is that studies show that doing moderate to intense exercise 5 or more days a week, which is the amount recommended for good health, 5 days a week, 30 minutes is the guideline, produces little or no weight loss by itself. They have also gone on to do additional studies where they pair the same amount of exercise with diet and see 0 additional benefit compared to the diet-only group. So I'm going to say this again. Exercise by itself does not promote weight loss. Being physically active is amazing for so many reasons. Your physical well-being, your longevity, how you feel in your body, your strength, your endurance, your bone mass, your mental health, hugely important. And exercise has been shown to help with weight maintenance. So if you are on a weight loss journey, exercise isn't necessarily going to help you lose weight, but it sure as heck is going to help you maintain that weight when you get to your goal. So should you be exercising? Yes. Should you be exercising even if weight is, let's say it doesn't even help with weight maintenance or weight loss? Should you be exercising? Yes. Yes. This is where we need to expand our perspective. And stop making exercise about how many calories we're burning or how much we're sweating. And start making exercise about how freaking amazing it makes us feel. Okay? Evidence shows the most effective way to lose weight, no surprise here, is with a healthy, balanced diet and a calorie deficit. You can't successfully lose a significant amount of weight or any weight by just exercising. If you don't change your nutrition in addition, you will likely see very, very little progress, if any. Now, that doesn't mean there's no point in working out if you have a weight loss goal. I don't want you to take that away from this conversation. What it means is that you should be thinking about how else exercise benefits you. I will share a few stories from my own life as well as from client journeys. I have had clients tell me before that they are more likely to make smarter, balanced food choices when they're consistently working out because they want to feel good during their workout. So they are considering what they're eating pre-workout and they want to feel good after their workout. They just spent, you know, however many minutes working their tushy off. They don't want to go home and have, you know, a Chick-fil-A hamburger. Do Chick-fil-A even have hamburgers? I don't think so. I think it's just chicken. Whatever. They don't want to get a fast food burger and fries on the way home because they're feeling so good. So then they're more likely to think about what their post-workout nutrition is going to look like. So exercising can be a great modality to consider a little bit more what you're eating, how much you're eating. I also noticed that when I exercise, I am in such a better mood. Like I have more mental clarity, I have more energy. And so that alone is a great reason for me to exercise. I have had clients who have been prescribed exercise by their doctors because exercise has been shown to be a beautiful, beautiful thing for people who are struggling with anxiety and depression. In other countries, exercise actually is prescribed, very similar to depression and anxiety medication. There are so many far-reaching benefits of working out. I don't know when the last time you did something in the gym, or it doesn't even have to be in the gym, when you did something related to your physical fitness and felt like a freaking badass, but that's a good feeling. That's an amazing feeling. And success begets success. So the more you give yourself an opportunity to deadlift something super freaking heavy, try your first bodyweight push-up, walk your first 5K, run your first 5K, whatever it is, the more opportunity you give yourself to do those things, the better and better and better you feel. So no, weight loss is not contingent on how much you exercise. If you get sick or you're traveling and you can't work out for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that's fine. That's not going to ruin your progress because exercise isn't what creates fat loss, weight loss. It's not the moving variable. It's still beneficial as all get out. But if you want to lose body fat, you gotta focus on the food, my friend. Okay? So in summary, things that I said to my clients that shocked the shit out of them last week, sweet potatoes are not nutritionally superior to white potatoes. BMI is not an accurate health metric. It is perfectly okay to eat an entire banana and exercise does not promote weight loss. I want to hear from you. Send me a message. Find me on Instagram at Nutrition with Nicole. I'm on there every day more often than I should be. And I want you to let me know if any of these surprised you or if you learned something new. Maybe you knew it, but like you didn't really know the full extent of what I have been sharing here. Okay? I want to know. Also, I want to know if you want me to do this again because this was just like me sitting down and having the little reflection with myself thinking, what did I say to my clients this week that like sort of surprised them? There's so much more that we talk about that I could share with you. Obviously, the super fun stuff gets saved for our one-on-one coaching calls because that is the magic of one-on-one high accountability nutrition coaching, which if you're interested in, go ahead and fill out the application below. I've recently, actually our last two applicants who have both recently signed up for one-on-one nutrition coaching have come from the podcast. So that is just so exciting. I love it when someone feels like they already know me, they already know my co-coach Lauren, because they've heard us before. You kind of know where we stand with some of the nutrition philosophy and the psychology of making progress. It's just so fun for me. I feel like we already know each other. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. Send me a message if any of this surprised you. If you would like me to continue maybe making this a little serious thing, let me know. I am always wanting to give you valuable content that is relatable to your real life. I love you, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.